WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A third night of massive anti-ICE raid protests are winding down in Los Angeles. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
It is completely locked down. You easily have hundreds of police officers staged throughout the area. Thousands of protesters yesterday. They've since been dispersed this morning.
President Trump fueling demonstrators' ire when he ordered in National Guard troops. Police in San Francisco reporting 44 protest arrests there. The president's new travel ban on 12 countries begins today. CBS's Torian Small.
The idea behind this, according to White House officials, is to tighten immigration controls because they say this is a national security concern.
Ukraine is reporting the largest Russian overnight drone attack of the war so far. CBS's Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
Ukraine says Russia launched nearly 500 drones overnight, but the Air Force destroyed more than two-thirds of them mid-flight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Southeastern Wisconsin is now home to the state's first large-scale battery storage facility. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
We Energies says the Paris Solar Battery Park in Kenosha County is now fully operational. The site's new battery system stores enough electricity to power more than 130,000 homes for 4 hours. Solar panels at that site have been working since last December. We Energies is leading the project with partners involved, including Wisconsin Public Service and Madison Gas and Electric.
And hurricane season started at the beginning of this month and runs through the end of November. That's a six-month-long season. And the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration predicts a 60% chance of an above-normal season to strike. NOAA thinks that there will be at least 13 to 19 named storms with winds of 39 miles per hour or more. And of those, 6 to 10 are expected to become hurricanes with winds of 74 miles per hour plus. And as for the major destructive hurricanes, Category 3, 4, or 5 strength, NOAA says we'll probably see 3 to 5 of those this season. So here's what's happening. We're still in an ENSO neutral phase, which means we're not in an El Nino pattern or a La Nina. This means the trade winds are weaker, with still well above normal ocean water temperatures. And pairing the higher heat with the weak wind shear, it'll make it much easier for tropical storms to form. Plus, there's also forecasted to be higher activity with the West African monsoon. That's where hurricanes start. NOAA says they're about 70% confident in their forecast for this hurricane season. And last year's season became the third costliest on record. It featured 18 named storms, 11 hurricanes, and 5 were major. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but at the same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
In golf, the team of Darren Clark and Thomas Bjorn, the winners at the American Family Championship at TPC Wisconsin. Steve Stricker's team in second place, but says he's looking at a possible MRI for some injuries. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible today. Our high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber. And we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, June 9th, 2025. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is on the way. We'll talk to State Senator Chris Larson a little later on this hour as well. But first off, it is time once again for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Done statewide around the network, four times a day. You can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every time you enter, it puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a little vacation getaway in Wisconsin Dells or in Door County, some gas money to get you there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So get that Civic Media app, places like Apple and Google, go to one of the stations on the app, and use the text button to send us the keyword. So here we go. For this hour, the prize is $100 cash, and the keyword is lawn, L-A-W-N, lawn, L-A-W-N. You have until the end of the hour to text that. Then you'll have new chances to play with new keywords at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. And again, this hour's keyword is lawn. $100 is the prize. But that pales in comparison to the prize we have here with the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot to give us the forecast for this week.
Hey.
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Much, much better this week. How are you guys doing? I missed you.
Well, great. We missed you too very much. But we welcome you back on a rainy day over here in the Chippewa Valley. And I guess we're not going to be talking drought this week at all.
No.
You know, I mean, if anything, maybe for a day tomorrow, but otherwise it's, what's the word I used on Friday? Unstable.
Unstable.
Yeah. Kind of has that because you just didn't know, is it going to rain here? Is it going to rain there? And that, is that kind of what we're facing here for a little while?
Unfortunately, yeah. We're going to try to figure out when we can get that lawn cut in between all of these chances for rain this week. So we've got a roller coaster of temperatures as well, spots of sunshine, chances for thunderstorms. So here's what's happening this morning. Right now, it is 48 degrees in Phillips. It is 59 degrees in West Bend. So we're in those upper 40s to low to mid 50s all across the state. There is sun shining in far southeast parts of the area, clouds far northwest, and it is raining right now into central Wisconsin here in Owosso as well, with a low pressure system overhead draping a cold front through the state. So it's going to be a damp and dreary day today with on and off light rain chances for a good chunk of the state this morning. Then it sparks back up and some small storms are possible later this afternoon, and they could still continue into this evening as well. So an on and off damp and dreary day, mid 50s far north, to mid-60s far south, so still stuck in that cooler air. And as we go through tomorrow and Wednesday, a high pressure system starts to settle in. So we will start to dry things out. We will warm things up to the mid-60s far east tomorrow, mid-70s far west. And then we're going to continue that warm up to near 80 degrees on Wednesday before another low pressure system brings more wet weather for the rest of the week.
Basically, we've set the table for amazing growth of things.
Yes.
All the things that Kristen planted this year and all the landscaping is just going to grow like, well, I was going to say grow like weeds, but I spent the day weeding the landscaping. So no, the weeds don't get to grow, but everything else. And I like the way you put it about the lawns, because that's always one of those things, you know, you have weeks like that where you're like, can I go now? Can I go now? Can I go?
Right.
You know?
Can I squeeze this in before it rains again? Will I make it?
Is the grass dry enough before the next round comes in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's going to be the problem this week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, otherwise wait till Sunday.
Okay. Kristen, are the boys taking care of the landscaping and the lawn adequately while you're, you know, working during the week?
I sure hope so. We've developed a strategy where I have asked them to send me a picture and then I make a judgment instead of just relying on their judgment. We'll see how this works.
On the lawn?
Yeah.
Did you put like a ruler in the ground or something? So you can say, well, it's 3 1/4 inches.
Are they changing the mower?
Can't you just tell? Like, you know, you look at it, you see you have a pattern. It's like looking at a ballpark. You've got the pattern. If you start to lose the pattern, it's time to mow. Right, Rob? I know Rob's listening. Rob is Rob's expertise.
Yes, he is. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 53 with rain just west of me. Saturday, I had 2 yards to mow. Then my niece Elvie's graduation party and birthday Sunday. Tigerton had 1/2 inch of rain. And when I went to church, my car, Molly, got a car wash while I was in church. He goes on to say that this weekend I watered the flowers for Tigerton Main Street. He also says, unfortunately, in my area over the weekend, we had a rash of mailboxes and road signs being knocked down and stolen, especially stop signs. It costs the county and township money to replace these things. Yeah, don't do that. Don't be a jerk. Rob says, it was great to see Brittany again. She is a Wisconsin legend, and so is Pat and Kristen. All three of you gave some wonderful birthday wishes. That was the highlight of my birthday.
Oh, Rob.
How nice is that? So thank you very much. And he says it's starting to rain again in the Tigerton area. So again, that's the theme this week. You know, we'll just be dodging these things in and out and do all right. So do you have much, Brittany, for, you know, flowers or landscaping or any green thumb activities?
I love to do that. I have a ton of plants inside, but I don't have a lot of green space outside to do so. So not this year, unfortunately, but I'm huge into trying to grow some veggies, the pretty flowers, anything. I love it.
Are you, Kristen, are you flowers or like veggies as well? Carrots and things, tomatoes.
Right now I just have a small garden box, but I'm actually a master gardener, so I've grown it all.
Wow.
She's a master gardener, folks.
Wow. I didn't know you were big time like that.
Jeepers. All right. Got to make a note. Start the garden segment with Master Gardener, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Garden Talk with Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, boy. What makes Sherry a happy camper, though, is that there on our back deck is basil and there's mint, because that girl loves a mint julep. And when you got, you know, when you're growing the mint yourself, that's wonderful. And is oregano easy to grow? Because I don't like basil so much as I like oregano I would add that to foods.
I mean, try it.
My mom has it.
That's your master gardener recommendation? I mean, try it.
Okay. Well, it's not hard to grow. It's just, you know, are you good at growing things? I don't know. Maybe ask Sherry to grow it for you.
Well, I could. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that.
She could put it next to the mint.
Yeah. Brittany, I've got a story here on the Up North News website about summer camp. Did you ever do summer camps as a kid?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was a Girl Scout, and then I also did the horse camps all the time. I loved horseback riding, so they'd send me away for the summer to a horse camp.
How long, when you say send you away for the summer, how long would you be gone?
It felt like the whole summer. It was probably just a couple weeks, to be honest.
Kristen, were you a camper?
Mm-mm. I mean, no, we'd go camping.
No. I mean the summer camp thing. Yeah, you didn't do that? Okay. Mm-mm. Parker?
Yeah, I did for a couple of summers. I was doing a tennis camp that was actually in Whitewater. Ooh. So,
A tennis camp. So athletics.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we got themed camps as well. Okay. Just wondering about all those. I'm going to tell folks about the web store in a minute here. But Brittany, thank you so very much. Nice to see you again. Have a great day. We'll see you again next hour for a little update on that forecast. So get your s'more sticks ready because summer camps are kicking off and they're not just for kids anymore. Whether you're looking for a day trip, a cozy cabin weekend getaway, a full-on wilderness retreat, there is a camp somewhere that'll let you unplug or try something new or just relive the best parts of growing up in Wisconsin. Some camps offer a more traditional summer camp experience with fire pits, archery targets, time on the water. Others let you tap into your creative side with arts and crafts. And so on our website, there are six summer camps for adults that you can check out. And again, the cost varies on this, so we're just going to give you the description only here. Let's see. There's Camp Wandawega in Elkhorn, which has Airbnb cabin rentals with camp-like amenities, fire pits, private beach, fishing pier, tennis courts, archery. There's the Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona, a one-day adult camp with games, crafts, and friendly competitions. There's the Woodland Dunes Nature Center and Preserve in Two Rivers, hosting three afternoon camps this summer, each with a different theme, ranging from arts and crafts to outdoor hikes. Let's pick one more here. We'll do, let's say, the Clearing Folk School in Ellison Bay, week-long camps for grown-ups with opportunities to learn quilting, wood carving, or painting while living on-site, meals included. Kristen, I'd ask if any of these appeal to you, but you do like just camping. You and Craig just take you still got the pop-up, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. I just like to be in the wilderness. But if I could just put a plug in for Camp Wandawega, apparently it is lost in time. I have friends who go there every summer, and it is this place where you go. They want to set your expectations low. There's no technology. There's none of the fancy bells and whistles. You go there and you are just camping, and it is delightful.
Oh, that actually sounds really nice. I don't know that I can really unplug like that, but...
maybe you should.
Yeah.
Maybe. It would help. It would really help.
Tony says, no one else went to church camp? Is that more of an Ohio thing? Oh, no. You know, Luther Park is a big one up here. There are many religious-themed camps up in northern Wisconsin, Jewish, Christian, otherwise. But Rob in Tigerton says, my summers were working on the farm as a kid. And that's why when I met Sherry and she had no interest in camping and still doesn't, she says, you have to remember on a farm, your goal was to get indoors at the end of the day.
Yes.
Not fair. To sleep outdoors. Let's see. Alicia says, Dr. Kreitlow's welcome to harvest the mint someone planted in my garden before I bought my house.
Oh.
So she's got extra mint to share. And finally, back to Tony, who says, I like camp. Sit on my couch.
That's a good one.
It's a fine one from time to time, like when a Brewers game is on or something like that. Speaking of which, I had to work to find the Brewers games over the weekend. The Saturday night one turned out to be the national game on Fox, which was fine. But, you know, you first go to the FanDuel Network and you see they're doing, you know, a show about baseball trading cards or something. You're like, where's the game? And then yesterday's game, I looked on Fox. It wasn't there, not on FanDuel. Didn't see it anywhere in my TV guide. I'm like, I know this is on TV someplace. And finally looked it up. The Roku channel.
Yeah.
I just can't do this. All of the jumping around and searching things, I just like, it's just too much. It's too much effort.
It's not fun. They didn't make it as easy as it could have been.
No, not even close. But let's see, what else did, I've got from Allison Cudahy on the text line. I have an oregano plant that is at least 18 years old. It's a perennial, no care needed, easy peasy, Alice writes. So
thank you, Alice.
Yes. So maybe that's where I got to go from here.
It's a perennial. If you put it in the ground, it'll keep coming back.
I know. That's
low maintenance. That's what you like.
I do like low maintenance. There's enough high maintenance things in my life right now. So I would be just...
like sports.
Yeah, there is that. Just trying to find the game. And so, of course, to do that, I had to watch a game that ended with a 1-0 score, a Manny Machado home run for the Padres. Why? Why Manny Machado? If anybody's going to beat you. But, of course, it was. And so the Padres take 2 out of 3. The Atlanta Braves come to town now for a three-game series tonight, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And coverage begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations across the network. And tune in to civicmedia.us to learn more. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes. We'll get you back to Pat in just a little bit. But on Friday, we had a discussion with Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project in Wausau. And there was a lot to that conversation. In fact, you can hear the unedited version by going to my blog at WXCO.fm. But wanted to give you more of the discussion. We talked a little bit about her individual story involving Medicaid on Friday. We're going to talk now a bit about how the Senate right now is discussing in Washington the Big Beautiful Bill. And as part of this Big Beautiful Bill, there's some aspects that could hurt nonprofits.
There's a lot that's detrimental to nonprofits right now in these bills. I can't speak much to the state one. I've really been paying much more attention to what's going on at the federal level right now.
Right.
And calling my senators like twice a day, every day, because there are so many things within that bill that need to be addressed and need to be stripped out.
Right.
And it really is like... For nonprofits, you know, there was something that got removed at the House level, but I keep reading that it's entirely possible for this to get shoved back in. And what it is the ability for the executive branch to pull nonprofit status on a whim without due process. If they don't like something a nonprofit's doing, they could just pull that. And so it's not currently in there, but... You know, this is where they massage the bill at the Senate, right?
Sure.
And so I just am really watching to make sure that this language doesn't get put back in.
And, you know, they're using all of this rhetoric like, oh, it could be, you know, this is to prevent terrorist nonprofits that are. But you know what? It's blanket language that could strip any nonprofit. No,
let me ask you this. It sounds as though that means if for whatever reason you do something at the Good News Project that is counter to what the administration thinks, they could yank the nonprofit status.
Yeah. And
without, as you said, any due process.
Right, for sure. And any administration that's in there, not just the current one, what that would do is it would just create this.
It's another power that we often see that, as you say, either party, they usually don't go backwards on
these
kind of things.
And that's why we have three branches, so that there are checks and balances between those pockets of power. But, you know, some of the other things in the bill, they include disincentives for charitable giving. So capping the value of itemized deductions for high earners, which reduces the incentive for major donors. Mm. Now, nonprofit organizations rely on major donors, and if they are disincentivized to give. Now, I'm not saying all of them will. Some people are just naturally and philanthropically generous, and they will continue to give. But people who are motivated by tax law, do I or do I not give? Or do I just save it because there's no reason for me to give? That's where this really affects nonprofits. The other thing, too, is corporate donations and imposing a minimum giving threshold of 1% of income before they qualify for deduction. So, you know, we go out and we try to get corporate sponsorships for events like Earth Day and America Recycles Day and our mobile help truck that's going out on the road. What is the incentive for a business to even give? And again, there's always exceptions, Chad, and I don't want to negate that because there are business people who will do it.
Of course.
No matter what.
But it's just making your job harder.
It makes our job harder. It really does. And it's already a hard job, you know?
Like, and something else we were talking about before we went on the air is that it's not a case where you walk in and you have so much in terms of the resources that you want to spread around to different groups or organizations or whoever you work with. You have to make hard decisions.
Yes.
And if that is shrunk in any way, those decisions get even more difficult. And bottom line is, not as many people are helped.
Well, that's just it. I mean, if you lack the funding, then you have to pull back on your programming. And if you pull back on your programming, you can help fewer people, and you probably can employ fewer people. So then there you go. There's some job cuts that are part of that decision. I mean, you have to be a realistic business owner and do realistic things to keep it afloat, right?
One of the aspects that when you put everything that we've talked about together is if worst case scenario, both in Washington and in Madison and in other governments all over the country, they're going to be basically saying, hey, we're going to give you less, but the need is going to be even greater.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So it's like, yes. I mean, and let's frankly be straightforward about that.
Yeah.
That means there's going to be a lot more people living on the streets. There's going to be a lot more people that have no health care. There's going to be a lot more people that die much earlier than they have to because there will not be the resources.
It's true. And, you know, the thing is you know, there are some people that have a really good support network around them in the community, you know, family, grandparents, cousins, whatever. I am fortunate to be able to say that I'm one of those people. I have a good support network. Not everybody does. There are some people in this community that do not have any relatives. They can't rely on relatives for childcare or any of those things, you know, that would help them at least stay on the edge, at least stay afloat, you know? By passing the bill, they're basically saying to us, you handle it. Nonprofits, we're going to privatize everything because that's what we want. You know, we're going to.
Because they often say, and frankly, I've heard this for a number of years. Well, let's have the religious charity step in. Well, at the same time.
And how are they going to do that?
Exactly.
If they don't have money.
Right. So whether it's.
And they're people who are members don't have money. Right. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So whether it's a religious charity, whether it's a secular charity, no matter what, you still have to have, I would say, the rules of engagement is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Where if you have incentives for folks to say, well, we don't, and frankly, for folks that say, well, the government shouldn't be involved in that, well, then they need to be also allowed to step up in the easiest way possible. And as you're saying, some of these new rules are going to make that even more difficult.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it is going to cause more crime because they're going to have more desperate people.
And we will have a little bit more with Christine Daniels coming up in about 22 minutes. But we'll send it back to Pat Kreitlow coming up next. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You Make the Difference. That's the title of a national initiative launched by the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, having an impact on county fairs near you. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's right, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions working to try to help uncover the value that county fairs bring to their community. Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association, says so far it's been well received in Wisconsin.
All 74 fairs of ours completed the information needed for the survey, and we turned around and offered a grant option for all of our fairs. We gave them a $1,000 grant. And they all submitted that so that they have the option to contact IFE. And if they want to purchase an economic impact study just on their fair, they could do that for $1,500. And we're, you know, covering the majority of the costs if they want to. And if not, then use it to update something else on your fairgrounds that can help you show what the economic impact is.
Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association. Some of the takeaways from this You Make the Difference national initiative should help county fairs when it comes to finding that next volunteer or that next fundraising effort. They'll all come back together January of 2026 and share their notes.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide, enter the Real Results Yield Challenge, and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And young farmers in Wisconsin face unique challenges, and they wanted to share their story. Last week, 24 of our Wisconsin young farmers under the age of 35 took time away from their farming operation to share their stories. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist event had them speaking to legislative leaders as well as USDA staff. While there, they also made a trip to the Mexican embassy to talk about trade dynamics and Mexican markets. More details on that story and others available now. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible today. Our high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Seems like a good time to remind you that we have a keyword for the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest that's still out there that you can text to us before the end of this hour. And the word is lawn, L-A-W-N. Again, lawn, L-A-W-N is the keyword for $100. And that's this hour's prize. Plus, you're in the running for those grand prizes, a stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, some gas money to get you there. And every entry this hour and all the other hours puts you in the running for that grand prize as well as the hourly prize. Again, do that. Text it through the Civic Media app. And we'll do this again 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. And again, that's part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Brewers are taking on Atlanta in a three-game series this evening, and then again tomorrow evening, and then Wednesday afternoon. Coverage this evening begins at 6:05. That's at stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, so we are waiting on Senator Chris Larson, who's going to join us, and I know that I had another note or two I wanted to share about things that you could find on the Courier Newsroom website, because a whole lot of new shows have been posted there and newsletters. We've already mentioned Nina Burley and her newsletter, American Freak Show, about all of the laws that are hostile to women being passed in the state of Texas. We talked about Mark Jacob and his Stop the Presses newsletter and the need to focus on the consequences of what Donald Trump is doing, and not so much the circus and the antics itself, but what it means to real people. Well, there's also a new video series out by Courier Newsroom, and it's called How Is This Better? It's a Courier production with Akilah Hughes, and it covers everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. How Is This Better challenges the grifters who are controlling our government, our attention, and so much of our daily lives. And let's see, I wanted to look at some of the excerpts from the most recent one. Oh, yeah, here it is, about Mark Zuckerberg. Akilah writes, Once a hoodie-wearing coder preaching openness and connection, Mark Zuckerberg is now a gold chain-wearing, jiu-jitsu-practicing metaverse warlord who is vibing with Trump-adjacent influencers. How did this happen? Akilah Hughes digs into Zuckerberg's transformation from the early Facebook years through his big metaverse bet and even his chicken nugget-eating macho phase. And I wish I was kidding about that, but unfortunately, I'm not. Ryan Broderick, the host of Panic World and the author of Garbage Day, and tech reporter Stephen Levy, journalist and author of Facebook The Inside Story, join Akilah to break down this evolution. As you'll notice in her new series, Akilah is always asking the question, how is this better? And wondering if Zuckerberg still cares at all about making the world more open and connected, or if he even really did. How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes is seen on YouTube. You can watch or listen on Spotify as well. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, or you can watch right from the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com. All right. 7:39 right now, and again, we're hoping to have Chris Larson here in just a bit. There have been a lot of activity among Democratic legislators introducing bills that may not necessarily pass, but again, give you the opportunity to see who's working for you, who's standing with you. And we'll also be talking on Thursday to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. She's the Senate Democratic leader. One of the packages that's out there that Senator Chris Larson and Representative Lisa Subek introduced would require firearms to be securely stored, either in a locked container or with a locking device engaged when a child resides or is present in a home. Seems pretty common sense. The bill comes in the wake of a tragic incident that took place on May 28th in Madison, where a six-year-old child was critically injured in an accidental shooting. The child accessed an unsecured firearm that had been left unattended by an adult caregiver. Subek wrote that children need to be safe wherever they are, at home, at school, visiting a friend's house. That safety is jeopardized when firearms are left unsecured in homes when kids are present. This common sense legislation takes real and practical steps to keep children safe and prevent these tragic, entirely unavoidable situations. Firearms are, of course, sadly, the leading cause of death among children and teens in the United States. According to the group Every Town for Gun Safety, nearly 360 children unintentionally shoot themselves or others each year. That's one a day. And an estimated 4.5 million children live in homes with at least one loaded and unlocked firearm. And the least we can do is, you know, take the measures that are common sense and would guarantee children's safety. And if you can't, the consequences are there, you know, death, injury, and now legal consequences as well. So we'll have more to say about that package of bills. But there's also another package out there about trying to counter the negative impacts from the actions of President Trump and his administration. There are attempts to unlawfully defund public programs, to hold back funds that have already been approved by Congress, interfering in the civil rights of Wisconsinites, jeopardizing the privacy of some of the most vulnerable people in the state. And that all goes against the nature of what state government should do, which is the essential work of governing, providing vital benefits, funding our schools, and satisfying, you know, all the other obligations that come with solving the big problems that we have from day to day. And so that package of bills has been, again, introduced by Senator Chris Larson and several assembly representatives. And we'll be talking to Senator Larson about that and also to Senator Hesselbein coming up on Thursday. Again, all part of a session that should be focused mostly on the state budget. But unfortunately, the state budget is at a bit of an impasse right now. And apparently, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend, and again, trying to blame Governor Tony Evers for being unreasonable, I guess. Apparently, it's unreasonable to want to adequately fund our schools and fix our roads and expand broadband internet coverage to all of our families and our small businesses and schools and farms and everything else. Governor Evers made clear that, you know, he already met them halfway on their demands for tax cuts. Tax cuts that would not go exactly the way that he would want them to go, but he understands that in a budget negotiation, you sometimes don't get everything that you want. But Republicans would not meet him in terms of, you know, the spending that's required to properly support all the things that I just mentioned. And that's pretty intentional. You know, again, we're talking about lawmakers who at best want to do the bare minimum. And many would not want to do the bare minimum. They would actually like to cut many of these essential services. They'll tell you they don't. I mean, look what's happening in Congress with Medicaid, where, again, Derek Van Orden, President Trump, all the others, they don't have the guts to say they want to cut Medicaid. I mean, Ron Johnson is at least telling you what he wants to do. He wants to take away your health care because he says government has no business doing that, even though he doesn't have any other solution for the health care crisis in this country. But you've got, you know, again, Trump and Van Orden and others saying, these are not cuts. These are not cuts. We're just reining in spending. their cuts, when they are intentionally putting in roadblocks for people to access the benefits that their tax dollars paid for. And that's exactly what's happening in this state budget as well, is legislators that would love to see cuts to public education and then take your hard-earned money and put it over into vouchers so that families wealthier than you, who might even have a lower tax rate than you, can then get some of your money to send their kids to religious schools. We're seeing that happening in more and more states, and there are people here who would like to see it happen in Wisconsin. So I give the governor points for saying, look, I'll try to meet you halfway. How about you do the same? And Robin Voss and Devin Lemahue and the others in the Republican side of the legislature just aren't willing to do it. There's a new study out from the sports blog Deadspin that ranks sports fans' bucket lists. Believe it or not, Lambeau Field is on that list, but only at number five, Parker.
Five?
Ahead of that is, let's see, there's Madison Square Garden in New York.
Okay, yeah.
There's Yankee Stadium in New York.
Sure.
There's Fenway Park in Boston. Yeah. And there's Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Okay. I have heard very mixed reviews of Wrigley Field.
I have been to Wrigley Field and a Fenway Park. They both have this thing in common. They were both built in 1912.
Yeah.
Which means they also have this thing in common. They look and feel like a park, a ballpark.
Built in 1912.
Built in 1912. You know,
yeah.
try as they might, you know, you can't. I'm not saying that everything has to have that new stadium smell, but that old stadium smell, that's
it's getting old.
Something I can do without. Let's pop Jimmy Koska up early since we're getting into this. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Doing great. How's it going, guys?
Well, good. I don't know if you heard us talking about it or not, but Deadspin ranking Lambeau Field as fifth on the top on the list of bucket list experiences for American sports fans after Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden. Having been to most of those, I mean, the bucket list clearly must have been designed by, or they ask people who haven't been to these things and they say, what would you like to go to that you haven't been to yet? Because I think if it was people who'd been to all these, don't you think that list would look a little different?
I think it would. I think with all the recent updates that Lambeau Field has had, it's become much more of an experience for people. I think the Packers have been really smart in recognizing that the experience of Lambeau is pretty unique to a stadium experience just anywhere in the country. With all the history, with everything that's happened there, they've been really, really smart to capitalize on that. There's a lot more in the way of access to like historical things. It's a much more family-friendly sort of tour that you get. I really think Lambeau should be at the top of the list. I just think that's a destination for people. It's a big reason why we got the draft here this year. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that, Jimmy. And I want to talk to you in just a little bit about some of the high school postseason stuff that's going up. And the Packers have parted ways with a player that we want to talk about as well. So, Jimmy, you stand by. And then I want to bring up Senator Larson just long enough to apologize to him. I didn't get a proper link to him in time to come join us for this morning's show. Senator, I apologize about that. And I've only got a minute left in this segment. But I did want to get you on long enough to say why you've introduced these recent packages that you have about the Trump administration and things like that.
Yeah, happy to be on. It's officially Monday morning. No worries about it, Pat. but essentially, the main reason we're putting these out there is there's a recognition by legislators. And I think sometimes we get phone calls and definitely getting people coming up to us in the public saying, hey, what are you doing about the stuff that's happening federally? What's happening with the Trump administration? And responding in kind. So they've threatened a lot of different sources of funds that are used for grants. They've threatened the universities. They've threatened K-12 public education if they refuse to abide by whatever it is, whatever made-up standard they've got.
And so somebody's,
this is a way for us to push back on that.
Exactly. And so some of our stations are going to cut away for a local update. Others will stick around here. We'll spend a couple of more minutes with Senator Larson, then we'll bring Jimmy Koska back in as well. But for others, you've got a local news break coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes. Start of another new work week. And got a little bit more with Christine Daniels because normally when I have somebody come in to sit down and have an interview, it's about 15 minutes long. I was with Christine Daniels for about 37 minutes. We heard part of their conversation on Friday, hearing a little bit more here today. Again, talking about the bills that are being pushed right now in Washington, D.C. that could have definite bad effects, not just on individuals, but on nonprofits as a whole. So here's more with Christine Daniels.
I'm the type of person, I can't just cower and shut up. I can't do it. It's not in my nature. If I see an injustice, if I see a wrong, I have to speak up about it. That's just who I am. That's how I was built. And so for a nonprofit, it's okay to make these phone calls. And so I do say, you know, I am the executive director of a nonprofit in North Central Wisconsin. You know, we are a business affected by this legislation. And as long as you don't get into politics, you can talk specifically about policy.
How will this affect the Good News Project?
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what I'm talking about.
And frankly, I could see a situation where either Tammy Baldwin or Ron Johnson or Tom Tiffany, anybody that's serving us in Washington, may not know all the consequences.
For sure.
I mean, they're still human beings. Yes, they got staff. They should hopefully have people that say, hey, if this gets passed, this will lead to this and this and this. But at the same time, we can't assume that, can we?
No. And it's so huge. And I don't think, you know, if you're not sitting in an ED position at a nonprofit, you're not going to really be paying attention to what does this little line mean for them? Oh, my. It means something huge. You know, one of the things also is the bill imposes up to a 10% tax on private foundation investment income. That might sound whatever, but if you think about our private foundations, and if they're the one, they are like the givers of the community in large amounts, and if they can't make additional income on their investments, then that trickles down. We don't get additional income either as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same with universities. They're proposing a 21% on university endowments. I mean, these are our research hubs in the United States, and that's really scary. You know, we have someone in our fold that has cancer right now, and I've had a family member with cancer. And to think that they got through this treatment because of the on-the-edge research that was done in in UW-Madison, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start stripping that stuff, it affects everyone. And maybe at some point these lawmakers are going to have someone they love with cancer and be like, I wish I hadn't stripped that or imposed that tax.
And actually, it's ironic in a sense that this morning I read a story. I was on Facebook this morning, and there was an ad, Washington Post, an ad, and it had a story that they actually had out in January. And I clicked on it because it looked interesting. It was about a woman who had cancer, was given 18 months to live. It was actually a cancer I've never heard of. She had a tumor behind her right eye. Mm. And given 18 months, but she went through a number of different studies and number failed. She was like her fourth different study. And then finally something worked. And you think about that. All these studies that are going on, all these, frankly, for lack of a better term, experiments.
Yes.
People are, they're giving them themselves because they have no other choice. And if you don't have the funding, it doesn't, I mean, We talk so often in a simplistic way. These are not easy to. I mean, I can only imagine you sitting behind your desk going through different line items each and every day, and then adding to it how these changes would affect it. These are complicated issues, and I would encourage folks to not take the simplistic route. I mean, to really think about. Oh, it's wonderful to save money in the budget. It's really fantastic. But you have to think about sometimes you spend a dollar, you gain $5. I mean, we've heard that so many different times. It's complicated, but at the same time, it touches folks right here in our communities.
For sure. And, you know, earlier I had talked about how my family is on Medicaid. There are others within my staff that are also. So you think, okay, all of a sudden, if Medicaid gets cut, especially for all the people who are right on the line, because they're going to say we don't need that, we could potentially lose half of our staff immediately because they need to go somewhere else.
I mean, the fact that, real quickly, the fact that you had said you put your heart, your soul, your sweat, your tears,
all of those things, yes.
Into the Good News Project. And the idea that you would have to think about going somewhere else because of these decisions that are being
right.
made.
And I'm realistic, though. And I know in my head that's what I have to do. And so I will do it. It sucks, but it's something I would have to do. You know, like, I can be practical about these things, too. I would worry about the organization. We have been hitting really hard on succession planning and emergency planning for the organization because of all of these things that are happening at the federal level. So that's a good thing, too. That's like the silver lining, is that it really pushed me and me, therefore, pushing our managers to really get a lot of this, you know, in a binder on paper so that in the event I have to go, I can hand this to someone And they can sort of run the organization until they find someone else. You know, like...
That's a sad...
It sucks.
It sucks is perfect way to put it. But hopefully calls like yourself that are being made and calls from others and information. Again, we're not trying to put the wool over anybody's eyes. We're trying to open eyes, right?
Yeah. I just want people to know there are real people out there that are in your community that you may even love deeply. And
Christine Daniels, Executive Director of the Good News Project here in Wausau. Again, it was a very interesting discussion. Despite the fact that I've given you a lot of it both Friday and today, there was more that was not broadcast. So go to WXCO.FM and my blog and be able to hear the entire unedited version. More Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a third night of violent anti-immigration raid protests in Los Angeles has wound down. Demonstrators clashed with police as President Trump ordered in the National Guard. CBS's Elise Preston is there.
I was in the thick of the protest when at some point pepper spray was deployed. I heard several rounds of rubber bullets being fired into the crowd and saw people being taken into custody.
Police report dozens of arrests. The president's new travel ban on a dozen different countries begins today. CBS's Torian Small.
A lot of these places were the target of Donald Trump's ire on the campaign trail. So places like Venezuela, Haiti.
U.S. and Chinese negotiators scheduled for a round of trade talks in London today. Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
New figures show China's exports to the U.S. fell nearly 35% last month, year on year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.